कथां समाग्राम्य कृष्णस्यानुचरं प्रियं नन्दप्रीता परिष्वाज्या वासुदेव दयारचयत्। As soon as Uddhava arrived at Nanda Maharaj's house, Nanda came forward to meet him. The cowherd king embraced him in great happiness and worshipped him as none different from Lord Vasudev. Purport. Uddhava looked just like Nanda's son Krishna and gave pleasure to anyone who saw him. Thus, although Nanda was absorbed in thoughts of separation from Krishna, when he saw Uddhava coming toward his house, he became aware of external events and eagerly went out to embrace his exalted visitor. Om Agyan Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jenatasmoy Sri Guruve Namaha Vancha Kalpata Rupyas Chakripasindubya Eva Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Ajanulam Vitabhucho Kanakathavato Sankirtanayaka Pitaro Kamalaya Daksho Vishvambaro Dvijaparo Yukadharamapalo Pande Jagat Priyakaro Karunavataro Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Sri Advait Gadadhara Sivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. As soon as Uddhava arrived at Nanda Maharaja's house, Nanda came forward to meet him. The cowherd king embraced him in great happiness and worshipped him as none different from Lord Vasudev. In this most worshipable narration of Uddhava's visit to Sri Vrindavan Dham, there are so many wonderful lessons to be learned. Here we find in today's shloka that when Uddhava arrived at Nanda Maharaja's home, Nanda Bhavam, Nanda came forward to meet him. He embraced him with great happiness, and he worshipped him as none different from his own beloved child, Gopal. In this world, we have all been separated from our eternal relationship with Lord Sri Krishna. And by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He is giving all of us the opportunity to reestablish that relationship and live eternally in His divine loving service. In separation from the Lord, we can only pacify that longing of the soul through the process of bhakti, or devotional service. There is no other possible connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Through other processes of self-realization or yoga, we can connect with different aspects of the Absolute Truth. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan iti shabdate. But to connect with Krishna, with the supreme opulent form and personality, can only be approached through the process of bhakti. Bhakti is very mysterious. Why is it that Krishna gives bhakti to some in this world and does not to others? It is certainly his causeless mercy. And according to one's independent choice of being willing to simply receive or accept the gift of bhakti, it is given. It is explained that when Lord Nityananda Prabhu was traveling throughout all of Bengal, this was his divine loving service to Lord Sri Gaurahari, that he was going to each and every house, to every person he would meet, and he would plead with them, he would beg them, please accept the mercy of Lord Gauranga, accept pure bhakti. Chant the name of Gauranga, worship him, always remember him. In this way, you will become my very life and soul. Sometimes, at the doorway of even the most ordinary householders, Sri Nityananda Prabhu would bow on the ground. In fact, he would prostrate himself, roll in the dust, in such humility, begging people, please accept the mercy of Lord Gauranga. It is the most precious gift. It is the most valuable treasure, and the only price is that you'd kindly accept it. There's no other alms we beg. Simply open your heart to receive this mercy. Of course, we understand that Lord Nityananda is the avatar of Sri Balaramji, who is the original spiritual master, the original servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his original form of Sri Krishna. And he is distributing. He is distributing pure love for his eternal master, Sri Gauranga. In this way, we can understand that bhakti is never given directly by Krishna. Save and accept in very, very exceptional cases. But it is Krishna's pleasure to give bhakti only through his devotees. Just like, for instance, even in this world, there are certain manufacturers of various articles. And if you go to the factory and say, I want to buy this, they will say, we have a policy. We do not sell directly. You have to buy from one of our retailers that we sell to. Most factories are like this. Of course, this is business. But in the divine realm of transcendental distribution of bhakti, Krishna similarly, he will not give bhakti himself, but he distributes it in this material world through his devotees. By the causeless mercy of the Vaishnavas, one can receive the gift of prema, pure devotional service. And what is the price? That we simply accept it, that we simply welcome such a great devotee into our life and understand sakshadharitvena samasta sastraya uktastatha bhavyat eva shadvi, that such a great devotee of the Lord is actually non-different from the Lord himself, because he is manifesting the power of Krishna's love to me. Guru Parampara means this, that the divine flow of the causeless mercy of Krishna in the form of pure love of God is descending through the great spiritual masters. And that flow of love of God cannot be interrupted, cannot be polluted, cannot be disturbed by any power or force of this world, because it is completely transcendental. And those great and worshipable Vaishnavas are those who, by their humility and their surrender, they allow themselves to be the instruments by which Krishna manifests himself to the fallen souls of this world. It is a fact that Krishna manifests himself, he reveals himself through his great devotees. His love is present and available simply by submissively hearing their words and offering them our humble service. This is the beauty and the glory of Parampara. And it is the only means of connecting our hearts to Krishna. Here we find that Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi, they were living in Brajbhumi. They were suffering so terribly due to separation from Lord Sri Krishna and Balaram. Their hearts were mortified. Nanda Maharaj was thinking, how unfortunate I am. Such a terrible fortune. Uddhava was trying to tell him, Nanda, how you are always weeping and crying and talking about Krishna. You must be the most fortunate. And Nanda Maharaj replied, you do not understand. You are such a young child. You have no realization of the truth. I am the most unfortunate. That the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, was living right in my very home. And yet I just thought he was an ordinary child. And so many times I neglected him. And because of this, now he's gone. I've lost him. He's left me. If a man has a very valuable touchstone, philosopher's stone, which can turn all iron into gold, but he thinks it's just an ordinary rock, doesn't understand its inconceivable value, and just puts it down and neglects it, and then somebody steals it away or he loses it, is that person fortunate? That person is less fortunate than the man who never had such a touchstone. How I neglected Krishna, and now I have lost him. How unfortunate I am. In this way, Nanda Maharaj was plunged in the ocean of separation. But Uddhava, Krishna's intimate friend and associate, was sent by Krishna. And when Nanda Maharaj saw Uddhava, he could experience the presence of Krishna. And when he embraced him and worshipped him, he felt that he was not different than his own beloved son, Krishna. How beautiful this truth is, that we are all merged in separation from Krishna. We have all, by misuse of our own independence, so much neglected the worshipable Lord of our own heart. Although every opportunity has been there to give our lives in his loving service, how we are continuously, perpetually acting, speaking, and thinking in ways that are separate from the service of the Lord. How every moment of this human life is such a valuable opportunity to serve Krishna, to remember Krishna, to love Krishna, and we are wasting these valuable moments, neglecting every possible opportunity simply in pursuance of our sense gratification, of our material conditions of life, whether they be social or family, nationalistic, philanthropic. How unfortunate we are. But Krishna's mercy is so wonderful that he sends his devotees. And in his devotees, we can experience Krishna. Because the devotees of the Lord, who have surrendered their lives to the Lord, are literally non-different from Krishna in the sense that they are embodying the mercy of Krishna. They are embodying the principle of bhakti, which is the means by which we can perceive Krishna everywhere and in everything. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in this sense, explains that we should see the spiritual master, we should see such great Vaishnavas as non-different than Krishna. We should worship them in the same way. In fact, in the Srimad Bhagavat, Krishna tells Uddhava, Mad Bhakta Pujabhadika, that you should know that worship of my devotee is more dear than worshiping me directly. Because my devotee is my life and soul. Because my devotee has given everything for me. My devotee is more dear to me than my very own life. If you do something for me, that's very nice. But if you do something for that person who is more dear to me than my very life, I am eternally obliged to you. In fact, the Vaishnavacharyas explain that the great devotees of the Lord, the spiritual master, they are actually more merciful than Krishna. They are actually greater than Krishna. How do we understand this? Because what they are giving is non-different than what Krishna is giving them. But Krishna arranges by his own sweet will that his devotee is greater than him. Krishna empowers such a Vaishnav to do what he will not do himself. And that is, come down to the lowest level of material existence, to risk one's very life to freely give love of Krishna to everyone. Lord Sri Krishna, he especially wants to glorify his devotee and see them worshipped in this most merciful position. Just like in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna could have easily annihilated all the Kurus within a second with one very thought from his divine supreme mind. He could have completely destroyed every Kuru in the battlefield. But that is not his way. He wanted Arjuna to get the credit. He wanted Arjuna to receive the glory. But what was Arjuna's feeling? That Krishna, I am only an instrument of you. I can do nothing without you. Such a devotee who becomes the divine transcendental instrument of the Lord can do the work of God in such a way that appears even better than God himself. That is the love of Krishna by his devotee. And what is the qualification to receive that divine empowerment of Sri Krishna? Simply that we totally surrender our ego to being his loving servant. Trinadapi suniche na tarorapi shahishna na amani namana dena kirataniya sadahari. When one becomes so humble, at that time Krishna can completely fill us with his power and his grace. He can use us like a puppet to do his work in this world. Srila Prabhupada prayed like this when he was just embarking upon his lifelong mission. Throughout his life, he was preparing internally to fulfill the order of his spiritual master, Srila Saraswati Thakur, by spreading the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message throughout the world. And imagine what his condition was. The culmination of years, decades of thought, meditation, contemplation, and prayer. He was just approaching Boston Harbor, the United States of America, on that ship, Jaladuta, after that very, very difficult journey across the Atlantic Ocean. And there he saw all the industrial complexes with big smokestacks, pollution, a civilization he had never imagined seeing before in his life, of Western society based on the most degraded principles of sense gratification. And he felt himself helpless. He was thinking of himself as an insignificant beggar. I don't even know how to speak English in such a way that they will understand. I know nothing about these people. I know nothing about their culture. How will I do this service for my Gurudev, my Lord? I'm helpless. I'm simply surrendering at your lotus feet. Now, I am giving myself to you as your puppet. Now, whatever way you want me to dance, make me dance, O Lord, make me dance. It was this humble, submissive, and surrender to the Lord that attracted Lord Sri Krishna to completely manifest his causeless mercy through him. He came to reveal the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but actually his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, was empowered by Mahaprabhu to do what even Mahaprabhu himself did not do. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread the glories of the holy name throughout Bharatvarsha. But he ordered, Bharata bhume thaye hoila manusya janma jara janma sarata kakari kara para upakar, that all of you who are born in Bharatvarsha should give your lives to doing the highest welfare work for all the world. And here, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he was being empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take the holy name to every town and village throughout the entire planet. How Krishna loves to empower his devotees to do better than him. Arjuna defeated the greatest warriors in all the universe. He defeated Bhishma, the undefeatable. But Arjuna understood that it was all Krishna. It was not me. As soon as we think I am the doer, as soon as we think I have something to give, as soon as we think that the mercy is my property, then we are no longer available for Krishna to empower us. We find after Arjuna defeated the greatest warriors on the planet, Krishna wanted to show the world that if I withdraw my mercy, even the greatest, most powerful beings are helpless. When Arjuna went to Dwarka, he had found that Krishna left this world. And he wanted to protect some of the queens of Lord Sri Krishna by bringing them back to Hastinapur. And at that time, some ordinary bandits, not very strong fellows, just some bandits, some cowherd men, they attacked. And Arjuna lifted his Gandiva bow. Who are these people next to Bhishma and Drona and all of the mighty warriors of the Kuru dynasty? Karna, Purishrava. He faced all of them. And here were just some, not even Kshatriyas, just some insignificant miscreants. They appeared. And Arjuna fought with all of his strength, and he was defeated. And they stole the queens away from him. He could not protect them. And Arjuna was praying, these are my same hands, and this is the same Gandiva bow, but because Krishna has withdrawn his power, I am helpless. I am nothing. Krishna empowers who he chooses to empower. And he can also withdraw his mercy from who he chooses according to his own sweet will. We are simply meant to humbly be the Lord's puppet. To be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord's eternal servants. That is our only, our exclusive aspiration. And how to become empowered by the Lord? By simply receiving the mercy that is coming through his devotees. This is parampara. This is the divine disciplic succession. It is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam that for one who surrenders to Lord Hari, all of the divine qualities of the great sages, the demigods, and even the supreme personality of Godhead manifest through such a devotee. Krishna reveals himself through his devotee to give comfort to us, to give direction to us, to give us the experience of his love. When we feel the love of a Vaishnav, we could understand that this is the love of Krishna. And when we reciprocate with that love, we should know that it is the most direct, pure, and highest form of service to Krishna. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado yasya prasada nagati kuto. When one pleases the Gurudev, then one pleases Krishna. But if one does not please Sri Gurudev, then there is no possibility of anything we can do to please Krishna. Because for us, we should know that Krishna is perfectly manifesting himself through his devotees. Is there any questions?
I not know, but I face this problem a lot, that once we come into spiritual life, because we are in a completely in a neophyte platform, and we do not know anything about spiritual life, at the same time we do not know the philosophy, we do not know the devotees, and so we become so humble, we just accept the philosophy as it is, we become servant of the servant of the servant, we serve the spiritual master, and we go on a very straightforward process. But after some time in our spiritual life, once we spend some years into spiritual life, the devotees try to recognize us, we get some position, and we become on a somewhat in a stable platform, we feel it that we are a great devotee, somewhat or another, from our consciousness, although we, from outside side, we say that, oh, I am a humble servant, but inside something wrong is going on. So what happens is, after some time into spiritual life, after some years, because we get some position or we get some recognition, that humble attitude from our core of our heart is somewhat going away. Something is going wrong in our heart. And we don't feel that we are the humble servant of the servant of the servant, which we were before when we came into spiritual life. And that pride is somewhat inside way, something is coming up. So in the front of spirit, all the devotees, I might be thinking that I am great, but in front of Krishna, I'm just going off away. So how to see that although we might be there in the spiritual life for a long, long years, but yet that humble attitude in our consciousness doesn't get off.
It is important that we regularly hear the philosophy of Krishna consciousness for this very reason. Because in spiritual life, there is danger at every step. Maya Devi, who is Krishna's screening agent, for those who are sincere, by her association, we become more sincere. And those who are insincere, she removes them from the path of bhakti. She keeps them from disturbing Krishna in the spiritual world. So how does Maya work? She is so subtle, and she is so thorough. In fact, in this material world, we can almost say she's absolute. Unless we take shelter of Krishna, there is no possibility of going beyond her control. Daivi heshu guna mayi mama maya duratiya mame bamye prapadyante. It is true. Maya is so powerful. It is her job to keep us bound by the three modes of material nature, somehow or other. And as we advance in Krishna consciousness, our values change. We do not want to engage in activities of envy or lust or greed. We control our senses very carefully by following regulative principles, by chanting God's name, and we start becoming free from these things little by little. And we start becoming a little more learned in the scriptures, and we start becoming more experienced in regard to what Vaishnavam is, Vaishnavism. But as we're advancing, Maya so subtly whispers in your ear, you are becoming advanced. You are becoming advanced. You are better than anyone else. You see, for the gross materialist, she just puts some object in front of you and they just go, I must have this object. very gross. But for a devotee, she can't do that anymore. Because devotees know better. Even if their senses are longing for that object, the devotee will say, no, Gurudev has taught me I cannot do this. I've withstand this test. Somehow or other, I've done it. And after you withstand that very great test of Maya, Maya whispers in your ear, you've done it. You've passed the test. You're advanced. You're a great soul, a Mahatma. And as soon as you believe that, then you're fallen. Pride cometh before the fall. And as soon as we become proud, then Krishna withdraws his protective potency. And then when Maya puts the object in front of you again, you go, you can't withstand the temptation. This is the science of Krishna consciousness that we must understand. That we cannot control our senses without the help of Krishna. And he will help us to the degree we are humbly taking shelter of his lotus feet. But to the degree that we think we are the doer, we are the controller, Krishna will have to help us by withdrawing his mercy, by showing us that by giving in to Maya in the form of false pride, we face great dangers. So after hearing this, if we recognize how the enemy is coming into our life, then we can withstand those influences. Just like when a spy comes from the enemy camp into our own society. Do you know what that spy can do? One spy can undermine an entire nation by getting all the secrets, by learning all your vulnerable places where you can be attacked. Huh? But if you know the person's a spy, what can that person do? Absolutely nothing. Bhishma Dev told Yudhisthira, as he was laying in that bed of arrows, that one of the most important things in ruling a country is you must have good spies in the enemy camps. One spy is worth more than millions of soldiers. But a spy only has potency when he is undetected. Maya has so many spies coming into our life. And the most dangerous and vicious is false pride. The objects of the senses, they are just the foot soldiers of Maya. They're seen right before us with all their weapons attacking, and they're very hard to overcome. But pride is like a spy that just creeps in, and you don't even know Maya's there. But if you can recognize, if you can recognize this enemy spy of pride, then Maya is harmless. She can do nothing to us. And how do we recognize pride when she comes into our heart? It is only possible if we are regularly hearing and humbly trying to serve the person Bhagavat and the book Bhagavat. Nasta praeshya bhadreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. By regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavat and by regularly serving those devotees who are giving their lives to the principles of Bhagavat, then all of these anarthas, all of these dangers are are removed from our heart. Because by hearing and getting realization of what we hear, by humble devotional service, our mind, our intelligence are fixed in the proper conception. And pride will come, but you can see her for what she is. She has come to destroy me. No, get out of here. You are not my friend, you are my enemy. Get out. But if your mind and intelligence are not fixed in hearing the glories of the Lord properly, in a proper service attitude, in the association of good Vaishnavas, then what happens? We start to think that pride is our intimate loving friend. Oh yes, I am great. People are saying nice things about me. People are respecting me. People are even worshiping me. I am learned. People are appreciating what I have done and what I'm doing. How wonderful I am. How good this feels. No. You are my enemy. You've come to ruin me. Flatterers are my enemy. Get out. We must have this understanding. We must have this conviction. And this can only come through pariprashnena sevaya, through submissively inquiring and rendering service to the great souls who are representing Krishna.
Raja, talking about this false pride, this doubt used to be there from when we have heard the class of Raslila. These gopis, we think it that they are so exalted. In fact, our full sampradaya is completely having that attitude that we have to be just of the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis. Now these gopis, having such a high, they have surrendered everything to that extent that they went, they left the house, their wife, their husband, their children, their father, the parents, all of them, and they went in the night to meet Krishna. Such a topmost surrender they did it. And Krishna accepted them, and he played even Raslila with them. But after that, these gopis, they somewhat had a pride in their mind. They feel that Krishna had accepted us. And because of that, that pride came in their mind, so Krishna just went off altogether. And then afterwards, when the pride was subdued and when they realized that, no, we are nothing, only Krishna's causeless mercy that had accepted us, and that Krishna again came up. So this doubt used to be there in our mind that when gopis, they have surrendered everything. There is nothing else, we can't reach to that level. When they have surrendered everything, and when they reached to that level, and then also they could not leave the pride, and we are actually serving gopis. We are our sampradaya is completely to become the servant of the servant of the servant. Now these gopis, they cannot leave pride. Although in front of Krishna also they can't leave the pride. What about we then? So how to see that reaching to that level also the pride doesn't go off? So how to see that this doesn't come up?
The gopis' pride is pure, spiritual, transcendental. It is not material pride. It is not like our pride. It is not that the gopis were thinking, I am the best. Every gopi is simply thinking themselves to be the maidservant of the maidservant of the maidservant of Sri Radharani. The pride of the gopis was how Krishna, their pride was in Krishna, not in themselves. How Krishna is so merciful. He is so causelessly loving that he has chosen me to dance with. Of everyone here, he's chosen me. How wonderful is this Krishna? Of everyone here, he is so, so wonderful. He is so kind that he has chosen to dance only with me. They were not proud that they were great, that they had any good qualities. They were simply proud that Krishna was so wonderful. that he's chosen me of everyone. Huh? He's only dancing with me. Of all the thousands of gopis here, he's only with me. How great is Krishna? Their pride was in Krishna's mercy. Their pride was in the inconceivable nature of Krishna's love toward them. There was nothing material. This pride is the highest level of spiritual consciousness. To be proud of Krishna, his love and his grace. Krishna left them. Make it known to all the gopis and to all the world that everyone is subordinate to my Srimati Radharani. She has exclusively won, 100% my entire heart. Krishna's leaving the Raslila in this occasion was to illustrate the suprememost position of Srimati Radhika. And when the gopis were feeling intensive separation and they were looking for Krishna, tracking his footprints, when they finally came to where Srimati Radharani was sitting alone crying because Krishna had left her, they all began to weep. They all unanimously accepted, each and every one of them, that Sri Radharani is our queen. She is our supreme beloved. Because all of us together cannot satisfy Krishna without her love. Her bhakti, her devotion is perfect and complete. And every other gopi and every other living being, whatever devotion we have, is only part and parcel. It is only by the mercy of the expansion of the bhakti coming from Sri Radhika. So this beautiful pastime of Ras Lila cannot be taken in such a material way. It was the highest, most sublime spiritual manifestation of Krishna proving to the entire existence the supremacy of Srimati Radharani. But at the same time, even such a high and pure spiritual lesson, according to our particular mundane condition of life, we can, in a very external way, take this as a lesson on our level, that whoever we are, however great we are, if we become proud, Krishna will leave us. That is a fact. That is true. And on the grossest level, we can derive this lesson from the Raslila. But we must understand that it is something way beyond that. There was not a tinge of material quality that took place on that full moon night of the Sharad season in Vrindavan Forest. The highest expressions of divine love. And in those leelas of divine love, all things that appear like lust and envy and greed and pride, because they are exclusively for the pleasure of Krishna, they are transcendental. They They have nothing to do with material existence. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.